The News Central in Radio City today is a marvelous monument to a reporting concept developed across three decades. NBC's policy has been maintain freedom of expression, but guard against inaccuracy, unfairness, and partiality. To detail all the news firsts would be impossible, but we can flick through the pages of history and recapture some of the actual sounds as they happened. Let's start at the beginning. On election night, 1920, the place, KDKA Pittsburgh. The occasion, the Harding-Cox election.
And it appears from tabulations now completed that Harding will win easily over his opponent, James Cox. James Cox, a few minutes ago, conceded defeat and sent a telegram of congratulation to Warren G. Harding, the next president of the United States.
Next, one of the first news reports that came from outside the studio. From Washington, D.C., the voice of the man who flew solo across the ocean in 1927.
On the evening of the 21st of May last, I arrived at Le Bourget, Paris. During the week I spent in France, the day in Belgium, and the short period in London, the people of Europe requested that I bring back to the people of America one message. You have seen the affection for the people of America demonstrated to you.
And we actually sent reporters out to cover things like, say, a national singing mouse contest.
Well, Minnie seems to be just a little bit temperamental at the moment, so let's move over to Mikey. Now, Mikey appears this afternoon under the supervision of Jerry Murdoch of Bloomington. Mikey is singing like mad. Mikey?
Then there was a time when a grateful country showered the network with praise for the way we covered the Ohio River floods a few years back.
To the residents of Ashport, Tennessee and vicinity, Potter Dredge Boat is now at Ashport and will take refugees picked up at Gold Dust and inhabitants of Ashport to Ashport Bluff tomorrow. Anyone wanting to get out, come to Jap Henderson's store at Ashport tonight or as early as possible. Anyone coming to Henderson's store knowing of someone who has no boat and cannot get out, report this fact to Henderson, and it's signed U.S. Engineers. The Minnesota Left Memphis.
And believe it or not, this coverage of a human interest story about the mission of San Juan Capistrano brought in enough volunteer contributions to restore the ancient structure.
The swallows have arrived, hundreds of them, guided by an unseen hand, directed the mission just as they have been for the past 159 years. It's a sight that leaves one breathless. Like tiny dark clouds, they came this morning, appearing dimly on the horizon at first and then thinning out as they neared the mission. And high in the air, they flew so high that it was necessary to use field glasses to determine that they actually were swallows.
Thanks to radio recording, we can hear the voices of every president since the network was born. The first, of course, was Calvin Coolidge, bestowing a flying medal upon Colonel Charles Lindbergh.
As President of the United States, I bestow the Distinguished Flying Cross as a symbol of appreciation for what he is and what he has done upon Colonel Charles A. Lindbergh.
Next came Herbert Hoover. We've picked up a part of one of his recent speeches.
They all adopted planned economy. They regimented industry and agriculture. They put the government into business. They engaged in gigantic governmental expenditures. They created vast organizations of spoils, henchmen, and subsidized dependents. They corrupted currency and credit, and they drugged the thinking of the people with propaganda at the people's expense.
Then came Franklin Delano Roosevelt, originator of one of radio's great institutions, the Fireside Chat. We can hear him at his first inaugural.
This is preeminently the time to speak the truth, all truth, frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honestly facing conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure as it has endured. We will thrive and we will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And again, we remember these stirring words.
There is a mysterious cycle in human events. To some generations, much is given. Of other generations, much is expected. This generation of Americans has a rendezvous with destiny.
Next, we can bring you an unusual event. A little of the byplay as Harry S. Truman, for the first time, addresses a joint session of Congress. Speaker Sam Rayburn is with him.
Mr. Speaker.
Just a moment. Let me present you, will you, Harry?
Sure.
Members of the Congress, I have the great pleasure and the high privilege of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, members of the Congress, it is with a heavy heart that I stand before you, my friends and colleagues, in the Congress of the United States.
And we pick him up a little later.
With great humility, I call upon all Americans to help me keep our nation united in defense of those ideals which have been so eloquently proclaimed by Franklin Roosevelt.
Nowadays, our national leaders reach almost every single citizen of the United States through the combined news facilities of NBC radio and television. And we hear President Dwight David Eisenhower speaking in San Francisco only a few weeks ago.
Even this is no longer enough. We are in the era of the thermonuclear bomb that can obliterate cities and can be delivered across continents. With such weapons, war has become not just tragic, but preposterous. With such weapons, there can be no victory for anyone. Plainly, the objective now must be to see that such a war does not occur at all.
Our electronic reverse time machine can bring us the voices, too, of men who spoke on NBC and did not become president. Like, for instance, Al Landon.
The longer a man who is spoiling for a fight talks, the less apt he is to fight.
Then there was Wendell Willkie.
And until we have in Washington a government that recognizes such fundamental political facts, we shall not have prosperity in this country. No, we shall not even have defense. We shall have only what we now have, depth, uncertainty, and fear.
And we heard Thomas E. Dewey in Boston.
The communists themselves have cunningly played upon our respect for their civil liberties, which they themselves hold in such contempt. Yet, the fact is that the communists wield an influence far out of proportion to their numbers.
You have to be a little more than a first voter in 1956 to remember Huey Long.
They go gunning for me. And now it is with the PWAs, the GWAs, the NRAs, the AAAs, JUGs, and the GINs, and every other flimsy combination that the country finds its affairs and business tangled to where no one can recognize it.
And that NRA reminds us of its first administrator, Hugh Johnson.
We put a man in the White House and gave him such power as we never gave before. He has the brains and experience of the world at his command. There is no one so devoted and determined to use those powers, first and foremost, for the good of the suffering and the oppressed among our people.
And second only to Dwight D. Eisenhower as a presidential candidate to address uncountable millions on NBC radio and television, Adlai Stevenson.
Other forces growing yearly in potency dispute with us the direction of our times. Here more than anywhere, guidance and illumination are needed in the terrifying century of the hydrogen bomb.
It was on February 1st, 1929, that the first shortwave broadcast came from London, and our wide, wide world began to shrink to the size of a radio dial. NBC brought programs from the Arctic, the Antarctic, the Amazon River. It picked up planes in the air, bathyspheres under the sea. It even went into the pyramids near Cairo.
For this special broadcast, we take you now to the Great Pyramids near Cairo, Egypt.
We bring you a portion of this program from the very interior of the pyramids, from a microphone which we have installed in the direct geometrical center of the Great Pyramid in the tomb of King Cheops.
There was somber news, too.
We mourn the passing of Pope Pius XI, incumbent of the chair of St. Peter's and spiritual ruler of the Catholic world, who died in the Vatican. The long reign of Pope Pius XI is over. For 16 troubled years of the world's history, the pontiff held sway over the spiritual lives of more than 300 million people.
And the impressive news of the visits of Britain's King George VI and Queen Elizabeth.
And the king has now stepped very informally from the car, and the queen, and are shaking hands with the Secretary of State. Mrs. Hull shakes hands with the queen. The queen extends her hand, and they both smile. Mrs. Hull does not curtsy. They must be 30 or 40 feet from us, directly in the center between the honor guard, and it's impossible to hear what the Secretary of State is now saying.
Now, maybe you can remember that you once listened to your radio and then ran to the window to watch as NBC covered an eclipse of the moon.
Tonight, we are witnessing a lunar eclipse predicted by the astronomer. The fact that it did occur on time certainly indicates that the astronomer has exact knowledge of the moon's motion about the Earth and the Earth's motion about the sun.
Well, now, Doctor, will you move over there to the eyepiece of the telescope and tell us what you can see now?
A very small section of the Earth's shadow has encroached on the left edge of the moon's disk.
And there was the time an aviator took off from New York and landed in Ireland. Corrigan was the name.
Tell me, Mr. Corrigan, were you aiming at Ireland, or were you aiming at Paris, or just at Europe?
Oh, no, I was aiming at Los Angeles.
We found NBC reporters up bright and early one morning to open the New York World's Fair. The fair where television had its coming-out party.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Fraser speaking from New York World's Fair of 1939. The fair officially opened at 10 o'clock this morning, exactly 1 hour prior to the official time schedule due to the fact that the press of the crowds was backing right up into the subway ramps and they had to open the gates to let them in. It's a beautiful day here in New York.
And all America stayed near its radio sets, sharing the hopes and prayers of the crew of the submarine Squalus, trapped on sea bottom off Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
You attach those pontoons to the hull of the Squalus.
They are usually put down in pairs on opposite sides of the ship.
Yeah. And then you pump compressed air into them and they rise to the surface.
That's right.
I see. Well, in that manner they will raise the Squalus.
And then came one of the most astonishing, on-the-spot descriptions of a disaster ever to go on the air. The explosion of the Hindenburg.
It's practically standing still now. They've dropped ropes out of the nose of the ship. The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough to keep it from... It bursts into flames. Get it, Charlie. It's crashing. It's crashing terrible. Oh, my. Get out of the way, please. It's burning and bursting into flames and it's falling on the mooring fast and all the folks between that this is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, it's 400 or 500 feet into the sky. It's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. All the humanity and all the passengers screaming around here.
Now America was to be rudely shaken to a stern realization that the world had gone all wrong. It took, well, you remember, it was 17 days before Christmas, in 1941.
Nearly half an hour ago, that the Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor, the United States naval base on Oahu Island in the Hawaiian Islands. A few minutes later, he again phoned Mr. Early and told him that planes had attacked Manila.
And not too long after, the long, long arm of NBC brought this from Manila, the voice of heroic Bert Silen, who was to spend years as a prisoner of the Japanese.
Hello, NBC. This is Bert Silen speaking from Manila, and this time I've got a real scoop for you. Manila has just been bombed. In fact, right now it is being bombed. The all-clear signal had sounded, and then, without warning, Japanese bombers started bombing Fort William McKinley, Nichols Airfield, and the RCA transmitting station.
Years of sacrifice. Years of service. And then the electrifying news from NBC early one June morning.
Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. The communique will be repeated. Under the command of General Eisenhower.
Who'll ever forget NBC's George Hicks on a destroyer in the English Channel on D-Day, describing the greatest maneuver of naval and military history, the invasion of a continent.
Now planes are going overhead. That baby was plenty low. And now flak is coming up in the sky and streamers from the warships behind us.
Here we go again. Another plane's come over. Side.
Looks like we're going to have a night tonight.
Something burning is falling down through the sky. And circling down. Maybe a hit plane.
On April 12th, 1945, the world was stunned to its core.
Good afternoon, everybody. The President of the United States died at 3:35 p.m. this afternoon in the Warm Springs environment that he loved so much. He dies at the end of an era. Few men have lived through so much. Few men have been privileged to lead their country under conditions of such tremendous difficulty and with such great success.
We cannot do anything but salute the NBC men who kept the entire battle-torn world close enough together for us to comprehend in those heart-rending years. Then, in a few seconds, this happened one morning in August 1945.
The White House has just made an important announcement on the war. And to bring you this story, we interrupt our program. Take you to Washington.
This is Ralph Howard Peterson in Washington. I have just returned from the White House, where it has just been announced that the United States is now using an atomic bomb, the most powerful explosive yet developed.
It is the biggest news of the 20th century. As that bomb blew the Japanese city of Hiroshima into flaming dust, it ushered the world into the era of atomic energy.
The great president had not been destined to live to hear this.
General Yodel walked straight to his place at the center of the table, threw his cap on the table, and sat down without a gesture or a word to anyone. And then the others sat down. A few quiet words from General Smith, and a sheaf of documents were laid in front of Yodel. He was handed a pen. He was told to sign. He signed.
Or a few months later, this.
This is Richard Harkness speaking from the NBC newsroom in Washington. The word is, ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, that Japan is accepting our ultimatum for unconditional surrender.
This is Times Square tonight. Coming past me is a group, I should say, of about 65 or 70 boys and gals, sailors and soldiers, going down the street, whooping it up for all their worth.
And how these men of the Navy are taking over San Francisco here in the Bay Area tonight. They're going up the streets with their girls on their shoulders. Modesty has been thrown to the winds.
And since those years, only too recent in passing, NBC Radio and Television have brought you many of the events chronicled here and hereafter, even up to the troubled times of the immediate yesterday.
This is Leon Pearson of NBC News with Ben Grauer. We're seated here in the NBC booth, which happens to be numbered 32, about, 25 feet above the floor of the United Nations General Assembly, where the delegates of the many nations in the many costumes are gathering this afternoon for this extraordinary session of the United Nations General Assembly.
Today, it's television, that magic box of moving marvels for the small fry in our millions of homes. And a whole new generation of cowboys has found inspiration in Roy Rogers. 30 years of NBC network service to the younger set has been crystallized into entire color productions as lavish as Babes in Toyland, Jack and the Beanstalk, Peter Pan. And you can add the regulars of romance like Sir Lancelot, Circus Boy, and many more. But how did it all begin? We had bedtime stories, and pretty soon they dramatized the Sunday cartoons.
Now the land where it's always Sunday. Moon and Lord Bushbottom and Uncle Ambrose and Haroldine and Lillums and Skeezix and Streaky and his friends to go to that far land whence they came. The land of the colored comic section. The land where it's always Sunday.
See you in the funny.
Or how about this popular session? A sort of ancestor of today's zoo parade. It was called Animal Close-Ups, when we were young.
Have you ever seen a cowbird? Well, there's a pair of them been hanging around Don's place for a long time. What gets me is that they don't even build their own nest. Just simply lay their eggs in other birds' nests and expect the other birds to hatch them and raise the young for them. That's the height of laziness. But wait, here we are, and here he is, our old yarn spinner himself, Don Lang.
Well, well, well. Hello there, boys and girls. Tell me, how are you all doing this evening?
There was much that was interesting, if you like serious matter. But you could find some pretty rousing stuff, too, which had overtones of our friend Howdy Doody. You must remember this one.
Alton Myers Kindergarten.
Alton Myers Garden, let's all go to school. Kindergarten, where mountains in the room. Why do we pull over? Mischief we obey. Up for this, and you'll attend in the school day.
Or maybe you preferred this one.
Little and big folks, children and grown-ups, passengers on the White Rabbit bus.
Then there was another special, which was a great help to mothers on rainy Saturdays.
There's no school today.
There's no school today. It's a holiday for everyone. No school today. And we're going to have a lot of fun.
For on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there's no play, but
hip, hip, hooray! There's no school today.
It's Arthur Fields, Fred Hall, Jolly Bill Stanky, and the Mountaineers, and it's 15 minutes of music, nonsense, and a gold harmonica.
And I'm afraid there was one program which was supposed to be high-type excitement for the younger set, but made a lot of older folks stop what they were doing to listen in. How about this? Remember? And with the accent entirely on youth, we had a show which starred the children of stars of another era. Let's tune in on Broadway Juniors and hear Eddie Leonard Jr., impersonating one of the greatest of all entertainers, his father.
Cider, sweet as apple cider, sweeter than all I know. But come on out along in the loving moonlight. Of love I'll whisper so soft and low. Though I just can't live without you. Wow, do 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 do. Oh, Ida, Ida, loves you, Ida, indeed I do.
Of course, today in television, we've already seen and heard the second generation in the persons of Mary Martin's delightful young daughter, Noah Berry's son in Circus Boy. We have Youth Wants to Know on a far more erudite level than the old days. And in contrast, our nation is almost evenly divided over Eddie Fisher or Elvis Presley. Youth will be served. All they have to do is ask NBC. Someone might get the notion that we're looking at a 30-year young medium with a certain amount of the reverence usually reserved for old folks. But if you can remember recent days of international crisis, radio was the fellow who got there quickest with the mostest. Take a typical week and you'll find World News Roundup, Five Star Matinee, Pepper Young's Family, Mary Margaret McBride, Sportorama, One Man's Family, a day filled with all the versatility that made NBC great. Monday night, you'll get the wonderful music of a longtime favorite.
It's the Telephone Hour, presenting George London. Good evening. From New York's Carnegie Hall, the Telephone Hour presents George London, noted American bass baritone, who appears with Donald Voorhees and the Bell Telephone Orchestra. Here now is our soloist, George London. Open thy blue eyes. By Jules Massenet.
Ouvre tes yeux bleus, ma mignonne, voici le jour. Déjà la fauve te prédonne un chant d'amour.
If you want anything from football to fishing, from drama to deep sea diving, if you want to choose a church service or interviews with stars and statesmen, there's always this new radio concept sending its now familiar signal.
This is Frank Blair in Radio Central headquarters of Monitor. Table of contents for the next 60 minutes. Mobile unit Times Square. Cricket and election news from London. Music from Munich, a poet from New Rochelle, a jet scramble in New England, golf from Augusta, and a few surprises. This is Monitor, reporting for the nation and the world.
And here's something new. They say it's live. They should say it's the livest. This is the way it took the country by storm only a few months ago.
It's the NBC Bandstand. Guy Lombardo, of course, and then there'll be Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, Wayne King, and Freddie Martin.
Yes, here for the first time in the history of radio, 2 hours of famous name bands brought to you live. The NBC Bandstand brings you entertainment that is distinctively American. In no other country in the world do we find the number and variety of orchestras. Orchestras that are closely identified with our happiest memories of past and present. Right now, in this gaily decorated and colorful room, our audience is being served coffee at their tables. And they're about to be greeted by one of show business's all-time favorites, Burt Parks and his Mr. Music guest, Johnny Mercer.
Thanks, thanks very much. Believe me, my friends, this is really a thrill. I think it'll be for folks from coast to coast. The finest popular music in the land, live, 2 hours each morning, 5 days a week. Right now, here's a switch on words I was associated with for years. Guy Lombardo, start the music.
Your troubles, your sorrows, your cares. She was always willing to share. A wise sort of devil, but dead on the level, was my gal, Sam.
Or you may want to tune in one of the award-winningest radio programs on the air. It's on TV, too, but it started on radio.
That's me, Groucho Marx. Well, here I am again with $2,500 for one of our couples. Fannerman, who's first to try for it?
We asked if there were any high school students here tonight, and just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected Phil Lamar.
Now, how old are you, Phil?
16.
16?
Yes.
A big boy for 16. That's a good age for a high school boy, isn't it? Certainly better than 41 or something. Phil, what is your ambition after you graduate from school?
I would like to be a comedian.
That is known as the thrust mortal.
Few programs have won the popular acclaim that has come to a radio feature which reaches into the recorded past and the recollecting present to present stories of our great citizens. Like this one.
The National Broadcasting Company presents another in its award-winning series, Biographies in Sound. Tonight, by transcription, in this, the centennial year of his birth, Woodrow Wilson, Portrait of a Peacemaker. Your narrator is the NBC News personality, Chet Huntley.
Good evening. We are gathered here tonight to examine the career of a man born 100 years ago, a man who died an apparent failure. Yet on this centennial of his birth, Wilson's basic idea has been dug from history's trash heap as man's best hope of peace.
The man who said, "No man can serve two masters," didn't reckon on the versatility of two of our most popular NBC offerings of today. Here's one of the favorites in both media.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a burglary detail. An organized gang of thieves is working in your city. Their method of operation is clever and fast. There's no lead to their identity. Your job? Stop them.
It was Tuesday, May 7th. It was warm in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of burglary detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Captain Bernard. My name's Friday. We were on our way out from the office, and it was 9:46 a.m. when we got to the corner of Beverly Boulevard and Fountain.
And another program which, on radio and television, has kept the NBC news-gathering tradition in an exciting fashion. Here we maintain freedom of expression so all may see and hear.
Welcome once again to Meet the Press. Our guest is the Foreign Minister of Israel, Mrs. Golda Meir. The nation she represents is one of the smallest and the newest. And now seated around the press table, ready to interview Mrs. Meir, are John Hightower of the Associated Press, Pauline Frederick of NBC News, May Craig of the Portland, Maine Press Herald, and Lawrence E. Spivak, our regular member of the Meet the Press panel. Now, Mrs. Mayer, if you're ready, we'll start the questions with Mr. Spivak.
Mrs. Mayer, just what did...
That's the way it goes, from laughs to lilting music to the classics. And if that's being 30 years old, it must be vitamins. And so we come to television, the glamorous, visual, colorful, and exciting daughter of the lady known as NBC Radio Network, still only 30 years young. But that compatibly colorful daughter, TV, how can we chronicle everything that she has done and might do tomorrow? Actually, she grew out of experimental work, which saw fruition on July 7th, 1930, of all things. 23 days later, station W2XBS went on the air. Mind you, this was before Jack Benny, before Bob Hope, even before Groucho Marx. Then came a day, June 17th, 1937, when Miss NBC TV was presented on radio to an audience which couldn't see her except on a few experimental sets in the New York area. Shall we tune in on 1937? This is how it was.
We take you now to the NBC television studio where Betty Goodwin will describe the televised portion of this program.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking to you now from the NBC television studio in the RCA building. The iconoscope camera is focused on this group, the television eye, which is a great black box on wheels, and a microphone hangs out of sight. And now the television eye turns to Mr. David Sarnoff, president of the Radio Corporation of America and chairman of the board of the National Broadcasting Company, who will open these important proceedings.
The announcement I wish to make is that an agreement has been reached with the management of the New York 1939 World's Fair, whereby all the services of the Radio Corporation of America will present in a radio and television building the complete story of radio and its relationship with both the world of today and the world of tomorrow. The youngest child in the family of RCA services is, of course, television. This infant is not yet out of the nursery, but is now learning to walk and to talk. By the time the World's Fair opens in 1939, television will be greatly advanced. Whatever its status may be at that time, we propose to demonstrate to the public at the World's Fair the workings and the possibilities of television.
2 years later, television was following Mother Radio's footsteps. In 1921, it had been Dempsey Carpentier. On June 1st, 1939, it was Max Baer and Lou Nova.
Baer misses with a hard right to Nova's head, and Nova stabs with a straight left to Baer's face. Baer backing away, and Baer misses with a right hand. Nova stabs lightly with a left hand, tries with a right uppercut, but Baer covers up well. Baer is still suppressed by that marking of his nose and mouth, and the referee is watching him carefully. And Nova stands to the left. Look out, the referee is stepping between. And over the protests of Baer, the referee, Frank Fulham, stops the fight. And Lou Nova wins on a technical knockout. To save Baer further damage, the referee stopped the fight in the 11th round. And Bill Stern will give you the official time of that 11th round in just a moment.
Of course, NBC achieved many other firsts in television. A few thousand of us saw President Franklin D. Roosevelt opening the 1939 World's Fair. Then came a first studio program from the new Radio City, a first baseball game, a first six-day bicycle race, and a first full-hour production of The Pirates of Penzance. Almost anything you can think of in a 30-year history of radio was repeated in NBC television. We had our first television network, which linked New York with Schenectady. But even as a political convention in Philadelphia was brought to New York, World War II checked the rapidly rushing new wonder of the world of electronics. The NBC and RCA wizardry went to war to help develop radar, sonar, Loran, and many other marvels for America's part in the road to victory. Came the peace, and NBC television surged again with reawakened vitality. Laughter rose on the air. and now literally millions had receivers. To see what they were laughing at or with, here's how it sounded not too long ago.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, introducing America's number one television star, who fiddles around every Tuesday while the sponsor burns, Milton Burns!
Be good tonight because I have an audience that can be replaced by relatives. You
know? Well, I need to stop moving the curtain back there, will you please?
I love all stagehands, and stagehands all love me. Every stagehand loves me. You can believe me. I'm not kidding.
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. One of the stage. Let's give him a hand. It's one of the boys. Stage, how much do you get an hour? How much?
$20.
$20
an hour.
Let's switch.
We cannot give a long list of achievements, but here for a change of pace was an interesting special event. Florence Chadwick swimming the Catalina Channel.
You'll see her shaking her head no out there. Her mother is in that rowboat now with her trainer and the boatman. Her mother talks to her on the megaphone, says, come on, Florence, you can do it. Florence says, no, I'm cold. I can't do it. They try to tell her it's just a little way. Actually, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 miles that she still has yet to swim.
One of the old radio standbys moved over into TV for the children.
Good morning, good morning. The Horn and Heart out on milk cafeterias and less work from other retail shops present New York's most talented children in a full-hour variety program for the entertainment of adults as well as boys and girls. The Horn and Heart Art Children's Hour. Good morning, neighbors. Good morning. This is Ed Hurley, your Sunday morning talent scout who has lost page two of his morning script. And I guess I guess our regular listeners all know that those bass voices today in our theme song and what they mean. Yes, sir, today we're having one of our alumni club programs. In other words, all young people who were formerly members of our regular cast, but most of them are still in their teens. These talented youngsters who are just grasping the first rung on the ladder of success are today's greatest bets for theatrical productions, radio programs, motion pictures, and bands. This program gave Ezra Stone, Carol Bruce, Al Burney, the Nicholas Brothers, Yvette, Joan Roberts, and many other young stars of the day their start.
And a telecast from Colorado General Hospital stirred the world.
You are listening to the heartbeat of an unborn child, heralding its readiness to enter this world. As doctors gather around the mother at Colorado General Hospital in Denver to birth this child by cesarean section...
By this time, NBC Television began inventing its own new concept of service to millions all over America. It was an exciting day in West 49th Street when this sound first was heard.
Today, January 14th, 1952, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are in NBC's World Communications Center in the heart of Radio City, New York. We are in touch with the world. We'll tell you what's happening today. My name is Jack Lasculli, and here is Dave Garraway.
Well, here we are. Good morning to you. The very first good morning of what I hope and suspect will be a great many good mornings between you and I.
Not too long after, there was another new line of thought for audiences who wanted something besides sitting up late with the great train robbery and the perils of Pauline.
The National Broadcasting Company presents...
Who?
Tonight.
What?
Starring Steve Allen.
Oh, him.
With Dean Gourmet, Steve Lawrence, Kit Henderson, Gene Rayburn, and tonight's guest, Dane Klein. Now here he is, the star of tonight, Steve Allen.
Thank
Thank you. You're very kind. We did not plan this portion of the program in this particular way.
So NBC Television took care of the early risers, the late go-to-bedders. But how about the middle of the day, woman of the house?
Home, first edition.
Good morning, everyone, and it is a good morning. You're looking inside NBC's newest television studio in New York, a studio designed especially for home. From this television laboratory, which is what it really is, each weekday at this hour, a staff of editors is going to bring you news and information that applies to your home and your family. Now I'd like you to meet the editor-in-chief of our electronic magazine, Arlene Francis.
Well, hello. Here we are at last at home.
Suddenly, there was a burst of gorgeous, radiant, eye-captivating color. And we are now at the crest of a surging wave of polychromatics that may yet give us a new name for entertainment. Black and white may be a forgotten art before too many years pass by. While the memory is still fresh, let's record a few of the firsts in a world that everybody has called the spectacular. Here's what startled a difficult-to-startle America on September 12th, 1954. Color TV.
Satins and Spurs is being brought to you by Sunbeam, the best electric appliances made.
We don't care where we are, New Yorkers and in bar. We'll just be what we are.
5 weeks later, on October 18th, the first Producer Showcase.
Producer Showcase. Our great color studio comes to life. Tonight, Miss Ginger Rogers, appearing at Tonight at 8:30. Three plays by Noel Coward. In these plays, Red Peppers, Still Life, and Shadow Play, you will meet Martin Green, Gloria Vanderbilt, Trevor Howard, Gig Young, and in her television debut, Miss Ginger Rogers.
On December 5th, 1954, the first dazzling, unbelievably beautiful idea, colored ice, and skating star, blonde Sonia Henie.
Presents Spotlight, starring Sonia Henie, Jack Buchanan, Dee Dee Carson, Pat Carroll, and our special guest, Jimmy Durante.
Welcome to the Spotlight Review.
And in the NBC tradition of nothing's too good for our children, here's a familiar theme.
Say, kids, what time is it?
And there's fun for the grown-ups, too. How about the little man with the big guitar?
George Gobel.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very glad to be here, and I'll do my best to entertain you for the next half hour or so with this little swindle, or this little show, rather, that we have. And if I don't do too well tonight, I hope you'll kind of forgive me and overlook it, because I haven't been feeling very well. Lately, I've had this, it's not exactly a cold, but I had one of them air-conditioned rooms, you know, and I'd come in out of the warm temperature, then, well, see, I got a hangover, is what I got, if you want to know. Getting started any way at all in television is pretty difficult, and then if you have a show of your own, well, like when Walter Winchell went on the first time, remember he did a lot of talking about the cancer fund, and when Bob Hope was on, he did some wonderful work for the cerebral palsy people and Eddie Cantor for the heart fund, and by the time I got started in television, all the nice diseases were taken. I end up with a few choices like flu and measles. I did have a very nice offer from the water on the knee people.
Television for the very young, for the grown-ups. Now here's some for the romantic people.
Three coins in the fountain, fruit
the ripples, how they shine. Just one wish will be granted. One heart will wear a valentine. Make it mine. Make it mine. Make it mine.
And then the Gay Review, with one of Europe's and America's favorites of another era. Remember?
Mimi, you funny little good-for-nothing Mimi, am I the guy? Mimi, you sunny little honey of a Mimi, I'm aiming high. Mimi, you've got me sad and dreamy, you could free me if you'd see me, Mimi. You know I'd like to have a little son of a Mimi bound by.
A graduate of the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street on radio. Now, our Thursday TV favorite and hostess with the mostess on Chevy shows, which she shares with Bob Hope, the dainty, demure Dinah. Dinah Shore, that is.
You cling close together, there's no wasted motion, a newfangled tango and old fashioned notion. The floor may be crowded, but that doesn't matter. It's not necessary to move. Don't move. Why move? The floor may be crowded, but that's all the better. It's just like romancing while dancing. Who's dancing? Oh, you start off with one step and cling to each other. And you know how one step can lead to another. Oh, there's nothing wrong with a waltz or fandango. But oh, what can come from a newfangled tango?
Newfangled, newfangled,
newfangled.
And for a pioneer in TV laughter, Mr. Sid Caesar. We hear him with his haircuts.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a little song, our latest disc that we just recorded last night at a party, just for laughs. It's already gone over the 7 million mark and hasn't even been released yet. Here it is. You are so rare. Hit it, boys.
You!
And entertainment history was made not too long ago when Mr. Nice Guy started his 1956 series in color TV at the historic Ziegfeld Theater. Let's drop in on Perry Como.
Dream along with me. I'm on my way to a star. Come along.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Perry Como Show. And here is Perry Como.
Another show, another challenge from Channel 4, a chance to greet you and say hello.
But the greatest night in all electronics history came, it seems like, only yesterday. It literally flew into our compatible color and black and white homes. 65 million of us will never forget it. Let's scatter a little fairy dust and think lovely thoughts.
Peter, can you really fly?
I'll teach you.
Oh, how lovely to fly!
How do you do it?
You just think lovely, wonderful thoughts, and up you go!
Oh, hi.
I'm flying!
Flying!
Flying! Flying!
Look at me way up high, suddenly here am I. I can weave, and what's more, I'm not even trying.
Oh,
high up and as light as I can be. I must be a sight lovely to see.
Oh, yes,
I'm flying.
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 Nothing will stop me now. Higher still, look at how I can zoom around.
Oh.
Way up off the ground, I'm fly, and I'm all over the place. You try and you fall flat on your face. I'm flying.
Flying!
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 Over bed, over chair, duck your head, clear the air. Oh, what lovely fun. Watch me, everyone. Take a look at me and see how easily it's done. I'm flying.
There is a kinship somehow between Mary Martin's free defiance of space as she soared to Never Never Land and one more new idea in versatile NBC television. Let's dream of the perhaps immediate tomorrow when we too can acquire the inevitable color for one more TV production which we have reason to be proud of. Been a span of 30 years. 30 inconceivable years, which, strange to say, were conceived. From the lips of a modern philosopher comes the thought, never look back. Something may be catching up with you. Ah, but there's no rule against listening back, because that's history. Even if we've only skimmed the pages. Who's to say what they'll say about us 30 years from tonight?